You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Our friends at Vermont Public Radio recently ran a story about a new digital currency. It's called, wait for it, Beatcoin. Yeah, like Bitcoin, except with beats. Beatcoin is designed for farmers with small and medium-sized operations. Now, we're going to talk more about Beatcoin in just a bit. It's still a work in progress. But as farmers' markets become more popular around the country, part of our new normal way of shopping, we got curious about how these farms currently get their funding. We headed over to the Rockefeller Center Farmers Market here in New York City, where we met up with this guy.
My name is Christopher Wayne. I'm the director of Green Market's Technical Assistance Program.
Green Market oversees more than 50 farmers markets in New York. There are white tents with all kinds of produce, apples, carrots, plums, plus pumpkins and some honey and maple butter, and a lot of New Yorkers snapping them up. And while the scene might seem idyllic, Christopher Wayne says there's a lot of financial wrangling that goes on behind the scenes to bring these markets here.
Sure. One of the main jobs that we have is really to help producers navigate kind of a wide range of capital options that they have as small, diversified family farmers within our region. So we're helping producers on a one-on-one level kind of match the best capital option to their specific business. And those options are varied, and each farmer and each position that that farmer exists in has a specific capital option that works best for them. So we're out there on the ground working with producers, helping them go, I'm going to work with a federal institution with low interest rates, or I'm going to work with a up-and-coming investor. So we're helping people kind of navigate these potential options.
I'm looking at some of these signs. You've got tomatoes here and plums. Who invests in a farm like this?
For as long as the farm industry has been around, large-scale federal agencies like Farm Service Agency and Farm Credit have been investing with these farmers. They're offering highly competitive interest rates. They're on the ground with farmers just like we are. They're understanding cash flow concerns. They're making loans that have flexible parameters that allow farmers to pay back when it makes sense for them to pay back. Farmers can go 4, 5, 6 months without any income on their farm and then have very specific acute times when income's coming in.
We're coming off several years where it's been hard for people to get loans, to get credit. What's it like for a producer to say, try and get a loan for their business?
I think Green Market producers are really lucky to have the New York City marketplace here. 70 to 80% of our producers say that without Green Market, they wouldn't be existing businesses. So the 11 or so million people shopping in New York City through our 55 markets are really keeping these people alive in a lot of cases. So we don't deal with some of the more acute issues that some of the larger, you know, further out producers without large marketplaces nearby do. And I think that things like slow money, things like some of the new crowdfunding platforms that we see, some of the Kiva Zips and the Kickstarters, are really kind of filling this gap for certain producers. A lot of the times we see a producer, especially in a land situation, go out and use a large institutional loan to actually purchase that land. But within that purchase are a lot of other costs that come as a role of this. You're increasing your cattle size, you're increasing your orchard, or you're hiring more labor in certain cases. And a lot of the slow money investment and kind of crowdsourcing platforms are covering a lot of these additional costs as we go forward. So there's room for all sorts of investors within this community. And the more interest people are paying, the better we feel about it. The more options that producers have going forward, the easier our job is to do, for sure.
You just heard Christopher Wayne of Green Market mention slow money. That's a movement of investors who want to fund food producers, farmers, and vendors. It's based in Colorado.
So slow money is looking to establish networks where the investors in small farms and small food businesses are local. They're right in the community. They're neighbors, they're shoppers at co-ops, and they are the ones connected with the producers.
That's Vermont Public Radio's Angela Evansy. She's been reporting on slow money and the rollout of Bitcoin, that currency I mentioned at the top of the story.
Since mid-2010, slow money has facilitated about $38 million in investments in over 350 small food enterprises.
And I'm going to try not to giggle when I say this, but there is, I guess we can say, a digital currency with the name, not making this up, Bitcoin.
That is true, yes, Bitcoin.
Like Bitcoin, but, you know, beats.
That's right. And the coins, there's an illustration of the Beat coin on the website of Slow Money. It has a picture of a beat on it. On one side, it says, "In soil we trust." and on the other side, it has a quote from Tom Robbins. "The beat is the most intense of vegetables." The founder, Woody Tash, spoke with us recently, and he said that the idea behind Beatcoin is to allow people to make investments as small as $25. So it's about accessibility. It's about making investing accessible to people who don't have really deep pockets, but who still want to support local food, small food producers in their regions.
Lay out for me how Beatcoin would work if I'm, say, somebody in New York, where I am, and I wanted to make an investment in a small farm where you are in Vermont.
You know, unfortunately, since Slow Money hasn't said too much about Beatcoin, I can't speak about it with that much detail.
Okay.
Actually, if you go to their website, the Beatcoin page, it has filler text on it right now. So it's not really, I don't think, fully launched yet. Like I said, they're still teasing it. But I'm definitely interested to see how that does play out. For now, the way that Slow Money networks, and, you know, they're all over already. There are 4 chapters in California. They're in Massachusetts, North Carolina, Ohio, Maine, starting to spread out internationally as well. Switzerland and France are sort of getting their networks started. And, of course, where I am here in Vermont, the Slow Money launch was earlier this week.
If you're someone who shops for your food in a supermarket or maybe even in a farmer's market, you may have seen prices for all sorts of different food products creep up. You know, the drought has actually put a lot of pressure on food prices. I wonder, when you talk to farmers and you look at commodity prices, whether getting different kinds of agricultural funding has helped them essentially, you know, weather some of this a little differently.
That's a good question. And I think there are a lot of conversations happening around viability and sort of climate change mitigation as it applies to making sure that, you know, farmland can weather these extreme events. And I think that having a sort of robust, perhaps more nimble community of supporters could definitely nurture a little bit more resilience as we all face these challenges.
Angela Evansy from Vermont Public Radio, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.